It's good to have everyone with us here today as we assemble together to worship our Heavenly Father. I trust that we are all here today for that purpose. And not only do we spend the time in worshiping Him, we also spend the time in edification. We become stronger, our faith increases when we assemble together to lift up our hearts and our minds in worshiping our Heavenly Father. It's good to have everyone with us here today for that. If you are visiting here with us and maybe you have a question or see something that sparks a question, then we would invite you to ask us that question afterwards. Give us a chance to maybe answer your question, hopefully answer it, and maybe even having a Bible study together would be wonderful. What we are striving to do is to seek the approval of our Heavenly Father. Now, this is a fundamental part of every person's existence. There may be a few odd ducks out there that this wouldn't apply to, but I think most everybody seeks approval, especially when you start out as a child and you have your mom and your dad present there. It's natural to want their approval, especially if it's someone that you admire within your life. You want to know that they see that you are doing a good job if you are. They see that you are trying to do your best, if truly you are. And even someone who will, out of love, tell you when you're not doing something that is right. Because the ultimate goal is your own betterment. And so we seek our parents' approval. Sometimes as parents, we seek our children's approval. Okay? You'll find maybe that as parents you might make decisions that your children frown upon, and it's your own fault because they frown on you because you raised them better than what you're currently doing. That has happened before. Sometimes your friends, maybe there's a friend within your life who's a great influence on your life and you want their approval. Sometimes people seek their friends' approval over their own parents' approval. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's even strangers. And so we understand this, that fundamentally our makeup, especially when we go from birth up, we typically strive to have approval. The challenge comes in, though, is whose approval are we talking about? You know, we gave several examples earlier. Some of those examples could be bad. People within your life who are influencing you and you end up seeking a validation and approval that is not proper. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, that evil company or evil companionship corrupts good morals. And so we recognize that there may be times within our life that there are wrong people within our lives. And, you know, that's not a big issue as long as we keep ourselves in such a way that we're not influenced by them. But if there's a wrong person in my life, what I mean wrong, I'm talking about they're bad for me, and I want their approval, I'm not going to be making a whole lot of good decisions. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, the Solomon here, in warning his sons about the friendships that his son would maybe seek out or hopefully not seek out. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." By the way, the chains about your neck in the context here is a good thing. It's not the way that it first comes to mind. But he warns them. He says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood." So here's an example of Solomon warning his son not to seek the approval of individuals who are wicked and who are evil. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, talks about those who would teach false doctrine. And so we ask ourselves within our lives, whose approval am I seeking? And is the person that I'm seeking their approval, are they bad for me? Are they leading me to do things or in ways that are contrary to the Word of God? Jesus talks about this in John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43. There were some religious leaders among the Sanhedrin council, those who were Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, and so forth. There were some individuals who listened to what Jesus taught. They paid close attention to everything that he said, and it made sense to them. They saw him as one who was a teacher with great knowledge, maybe even one that was sent from God. But they had a problem. They sought the approval of people who were bad for them. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, this is John 12, verse 42. John writes, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." We have to take great care when we look within the recesses of our mind. We have to take great care when we answer the question, whose approval am I seeking? In the whole scope of everybody in my life, you may have a lot of people within your life. You've got your spouse, you have your family, you have your friends, you have your coworkers. Of all these people, when you're sitting in the privacy of your own mind there, who's of all these people, which one really bothers you if you don't have their approval? That becomes a great influence then within your life. It can lead you to make poor choices, and it can even turn you away from God. James chapter 4, verse 4. Let's look there real quick. James chapter 4 in verse 4. He talks about, essentially, if we were to ask the question quite plainly, who are you friends with? Or I guess I should say, with whom are you friends, maybe? I don't know. He says here in John 4, or James 4, verse 4, he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So whose approval should we seek? Or better is the question, whose approval should matter most? And when everything is said and done, you boil it all down, that is the question. Who are you trying to please? Whose approval are you seeking? The one that matters the most within your life, and you know the answer to the question, it should be God the Father. And here's why. You remember what God did, our Heavenly Father above? How much did He love us? Well, Jesus, when He's talking to a fellow by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He says to him in verse 16, He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, you have children. And you think within your mind, well, my children should want my approval. But listen, you didn't lay down your life for them. You didn't send your only begotten Son to die for them. God did that. He sent Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary so that you and your family can be saved. And so when we look around and kind of ask the question, who is influencing our life the most? Whose approval are we seeking? The answer should be God, because He has done so much for us. He is rich in His mercy and His love for us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, when he writes to the saints in Ephesus, notice what he says beginning in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, for those who are already Christians, this is the answer to the question, why should God's approval matter above all else? But if you're not yet a Christian, it also answers the question, why should you seek God's approval? Because God sent his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary so that you can be saved. And for those who are Christians, God sent his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved. And so we seek his approval above all else. He tells us to love him. Jesus in Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31, he's asked the question, what is the greatest of the commandments? And he says, the greatest of the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now we might ask the question, why is that the case? Why is it so important that we love God? Is it for God's own benefit? Well, understand, he is the creator of all things. He is the Almighty. But it's also for our betterment. Because what path in life do you want to walk? A path that leads you in righteousness, walking in fellowship with God, that leads to eternity with him in heaven? Or a path that is contrary to him and leads us to eternity in hell? Which one is better for you? You love the one who's better for you. You love him for all that he has done for you. You don't love the world. The Apostle John, in the first letter that he wrote, he tells us not to love the world. And you know, this was the problem that Eve had. It was early on and it was very, very simple. But this is what caused Eve not to obey the Lord. Fundamentally, this is the explanation. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we do that, then we don't love the world. And neither do we serve the world. Ultimately, we will live in the world, but our service is not to the world. It is to God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus explains there in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot love both God and mammon, or God and riches. You cannot say that you love the Lord and at the same time serve the world. You can't serve the Lord and at the same time serve the world. You can't be done. It's like a husband that has two wives, or a wife and someone else. It just doesn't work out. There's no good end result of that. You can only love one person. And talking about that type of relationship, the husband and the wife. But now with God, you cannot have two gods. You cannot love two. Only one. And it must be God Almighty. Because if we don't serve him, if we are not striving to abide by his word, if we don't love him, then we are not following and seeking the approval of the one who matters the most. We are servants of righteousness. He's talking about Christians here in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. We're not servants of the world. We are servants of righteousness, servants of God. Matter of fact, when you become a Christian, you put to death that old man of sin. You are made alive through Jesus Christ. And so Paul explains in Romans 6, verse 15, he says, he asks, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? He says, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of righteousness leading to of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Whose approval do we seek? We need to seek our Father's approval. We love him, we serve him, and we seek to please him. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, the writer there tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. We are to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And again, for whose benefit? Whose benefit? Who benefits from us seeking to please the Lord? We do. Because the blessings of salvation abound when we walk within His fellowship, when we walk within His righteousness, when we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, the Apostle Paul. And brethren, I'm telling you, this is the secret. If you want to know what the secret is to serving God, what is the secret to seeking the Lord's approval and abiding within His fellowship, he says, here it is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. A renewing of your mind to change what you are saying in your life is most important to the answer being God and seeking His approval. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, renewing of the mind. That's why he obeyed the gospel call in Damascus. When you look at all those who were not serving God and they turned to follow Him, they did because of the renewing of their minds, because they made the decision to seek God's approval and only God's approval. Think about real quick three examples we'll just walk through. Remember a fellow by the name of Joshua? In Joshua chapter 24, he's old Joshua now. Used to be young Joshua. He was young Joshua when they came out of the land of Egypt. And he was somewhat middle-aged Joshua when they went into the promised land. He's 40 years older, so probably older middle-aged. But now Joshua's nearing the end of his life. And he tells the Israelites of the day, the men, the leaders and everything, he says, you need to choose this day whom you will serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your father on the other side of the river, he's talking about back in Egypt, or you're going to serve the gods of the Amorites in the land that you dwell in, you need to decide who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now you go on down in the text, they'll say, oh, no, no, we're going to serve God. And he says, you're not going to be able to. They say, yes, yes. And he says, you serve as a witness against yourself. But Joshua made the decision to seek God's approval. Moses did the same thing. The Hebrew writer talks about this in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, where he chose to suffer the afflictions of his people rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose God. Moses chose God's approval and walked in that path. And even the apostles. Look at John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. I think this is a very interesting passage. There were people present, many, many people, a multitude of people, that heard Jesus teaching. And later in his discussion here, his teaching, he says some things that's kind of hard for them to accept. And many of them walk away. They quit listening to Jesus because they're unwilling to accept what he is saying. They see it as being too hard. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, John 6, verse 66. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered to them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil? And of course, he speaks of Judas. But the apostles, they chose him. They chose to seek his approval because they knew, as their own word said, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here's the question for us today. Whose approval do you seek? We all are of different ages. Some of us are older than 85. We're not going to point any fingers. We have someone older than 100, but we won't point them out either. We have some who are older than 50, some who are older than 40, Some just born a couple months ago. But all of us come back to the same question. Whose approval do we seek? Whether you're 100 or whether you're 80 or you're 50 or you're 10. Whose approval do you seek? And that's a very important answer. Because if you will choose to seek the approval of man, man's love and man's approval, then please understand it's temporary and flawed with problems and disappointments. But if you'll seek the approval of God, the one who sent his only begotten Son to die upon the cross of Calvary, if you will seek his approval, then he won't lead you astray. The path that leads will lead to eternity with him in heaven. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. He sent his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary because he desires you to be saved. But if you've not yet obeyed his gospel call, we encourage you to do that. If you say, well, I don't know enough yet to believe, then let us sit down and study with you. Let us show you so that you might learn why to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And our prayer will be that knowledge, that will be a conviction, a pricking of your heart, to move you to the point of saying, what must I do to be saved? And then we'll continue the teaching process as Peter did on the day of Pentecost, with the simple answer of repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And our prayer is that you'll make the decision to do that and rise up then to walk in a newness of life, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, having been now made free from being dead, be alive, that is, from being dead in your trespasses and sins. If you're ready to do that this morning, we can help you with that. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully. Why is that? Look back to whose approval you are seeking within your life, and you'll find where the departure began. But if you will identify that and repent and turn back to seeking God's approval, he will forgive you, and you will be restored back to his fellowship. If you need the prayers of the congregation, are you ready now to obey the call into salvation? Come forward as we stand and as we sing.